Happy Sunday and welcome to another amazing edition of Sunday Conversations with the Rileys. This is your boy, Gerald G. Rat Riley, and I'm here with my beautiful co-host,
Katasha Riley.
She didn't let me finish. My beautiful co-host, who is the most, who happens to be my wife.
I appreciate that, Katasha Riley.
Listen, we are broadcasting from Columbus, Georgia, all the way to Eufaula, Alabama, and surrounding areas. And we have a very, very special Sunday conversation today, and it's entitled Love and Conversation. I'm going to say that again. It's entitled Love and Conversations. In the studio today with us today is an amazing woman. She is a business owner. She is a mighty woman of God. She is a great mother. She is an amazing wife. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm so proud to call her my wife. So please listen, audience. Please welcome to our studio my co-host, who is the most, and my real, Katasha Riley.
Thank you so much, Gerald.
No problem. Well, listen, like I told you earlier, today's topic is called, Sunday conversation is called Love and Conversation. And my first question to my beautiful wife is this right here. What is the secret to a successful relationship / marriage?
Well, I think that one of the secrets, and of course, you know, we definitely together believe about effective communication, that effective communication through spiritual growth is a must-have. Without the communication piece, then, you know, you have dead zones in the relationship. And so that is always a plus-plus and a must-must in the relationship.
Okay, I would like to say that I believe that the secret to a successful relationship starts with there are no secrets. Every successful relationship should be an open book for the man, an open book for the woman.
Right.
With communication as the foundation and a relationship with God as the foundation. And so I just like to thank you for that answer. And my second question is, how do you know when you are in a relationship? How do you know when a relationship is successful or not? How did you find out that you were in a successful relationship versus how did you find out when the relationship that you were in was not so successful?
Well, love don't pay the bills. And so, you know, when love wasn't paying those bills, that was one of the things I knew I wasn't in no successful relationship. But I feel that I'm in a very successful relationship now. It's because most definitely I feel the love of God between both of us. It's like the three-strand cord. It's not easily broken. And, you know, God is there. And we keep him there in the center, you know, of our marriage, in the head of our marriage, and even at the tail foot of our marriage. And it the feeling of even when I'm feeling a certain type of way, because it's a relationship and you're going to have your highs and your lows, it's nothing that I feel where I need to get out because I can't breathe. Everything about the relationship that I'm in now says safety, says love, says commitment. And even if I wanted to run, I couldn't run, because God is in it, you know. And that's, you know, for everybody, that's not the most important thing, but in the Riley's house, that is the most important thing, is to put God first so that we can stay together as we pray together.
You know, you're absolutely right. And I believe a lot of people look at maybe my relationship is success because I have a big house, or I have a nice car, or
right,
I have a large sum of money in the bank. And don't get me wrong, those things have their place in a relationship. But for me, I think love is definitely a big key. Security, trust, and anticipation. Because when I'm with you in our relationship, I have an anticipation of every day is going to be better and better and better. And I look forward to whatever God has for us in our life, I look forward to it. And so I know when I can trust you, when I have, and being a man, when I have peace in you and with you, with trust and love and anticipation, I'm in a good place. And I, one of the signs that, that I know that I'm in a good relationship is I start eating a lot because I'm comfortable. Right. But when I was in a relationship that wasn't successful, I ate a lot also because food was a comfort for me.
Right.
And when I would fuss and fight and argue, I ate food to get away as comfort. But when I'm with you, food is a comfort in a different way because I like to explore and go to different restaurants and eateries with you. And we sit down and we just have some of the most amazing conversations when we sit down.
We do.
And that lets me know that's part of having a successful relationship, communication. What we say?
I believe that's true. I was just thinking that. Thank God we share. We split the meal.
Well, I want to ask you this question, baby. Do you have to compromise in a relationship, even if you know you're right about a particular situation or thing? Do you still compromise? Or do you stick by your guns and say, nope, I'm right, this is the way it is, and I'm not budging? Or do you... What do you do? Do you compromise?
I always try to find a way to agree, to disagree, use that as a way, as a tool in our relationship. Of course, sometimes, you know, I'm a type. I have a type A personality. So at times it's hard to just kind of bow down or what we call, you know, in the Christian world, you know, submit in the relationship. But of course, that when it's not hard with you, Riley, it's just not. You're easy like Sunday morning. You know, even in stubbornness, you're still easy like, you know, Sunday morning, and it makes things better for me to basically say, you know, okay, to let you lead, to want you to lead. First of all, I think that a woman has to want, you know, her man to lead.
But what if a woman doesn't have a man that is a good leader? Why should she let you lead and compromise maybe the safety, the financial piece of the relationship? Why is she gonna let you lead and you haven't proven that you can lead as a man? Should she still compromise?
I think that she should give them an opportunity. I believe that some leaders are born and some are made. When I say that, it could be where he is unlearned with some things, and because you might have had a stronger background with a mother or a father, or a mother or a father, or, you know, a whole system, which is a whole family with grandparents and aunties and uncles, and that person might not have had that incorporating, giving them an opportunity to be able to come in and adopt in the relationship can actually help them in change the game. But if a person does not want to do that, then it's going to be a problem there, and eventually you're going to find yourself where it's not going to be effective communication, and that person that is stronger is going to build muscles up in all the wrong places to get to where they need to be to survive.
Okay. Next question, Mrs. Riley. Can I, as a female / male, have friends? If I'm a man, can I have female friends? And if, as a woman, can you have male friends? Is it healthy? Is it recommended? What is it? What's your opinion on that?
I don't think that a man, you should come into a relationship and everybody is your sis. I remember when we first.
See, she talking about me, but go ahead.
Well, since you interviewing me and we not having like a conversation, I'm gonna answer your questions.
Okay.
So, I remember it was just a lot of females that that's my sister. I don't think that is anything wrong with that portion of considering somebody to be close like that as your sister, but it has to be a breakdown of respect on the other end of me being your significant other, and now they're my sister too. It just can't go that one way where, you know, it's your sister and now you're on the phone constantly, or she's calling you constantly because she needs her brakes fixed or whatever. You know, it don't work like that. It don't work like that with no female that I know.
Okay. How do you forgive infidelity? Or do you forgive infidelity? Do you move on?
This is my second go around. And so I was married before for 10 plus years, and it was fidelity. It was there. And I forgave for the cheating and all of that. But I know we talked about how that works in our relationship, and all the points was used up, so you don't have no points. Mm. But I think that it is a place in people's heart where when things happen in the relationship, it is a place for forgiveness, but it's not always a place for me to forgive and stay with you.
Wow. So what you're saying is it's a case-by-case basis. Always forgive, but it's my choice whether I stay or leave.
Yes.
Okay. I can dig it. Next question, and it's kind of like you spoke on it briefly, but who should control the budget / money, finance in the house? Because as a man, you know, most men want to control the money. But who, in your opinion, who should control it?
I think that the person that is more, that has more financial capabilities should control the money. And I hate to use the word control because I feel like it should just be where the person should be the financial advisor, or they should be the treasurer in the relationship to get things done. And also the person that is maybe the weaker vessel in the relationship with finances, you should also teach them what you know about how to secure the bag in the relationship, so that if anything happens or whatever, they won't be blind or dumbed down in the relationship of not knowing how to take care of things. But as far as, you know, that, I mean, of course, you know, you say it all the time. I'm kind of like the financial guru of our relationship, but that's really not by choice. It's really not because it's something that I want to do. It's just something that I might be a little bit more advanced than you in the relationship. But like you said, before we got married, you knew how to pay your own bills and all of that stuff. So, you know, it's not like you don't know how to do it. You had to learn how to manifest that thing to do it better.
That's true. Now, we've been married for 16 wonderful years, and I've gotten to know you, and so I've gotten to know your love language. What is your love language? I know what it is, but tell our listening audience, what is your love language? Because there's a book called The Five Love Languages. And if you never read it in your relationship, wherever you at, you need to go read it because it's important.
My love language.
Okay, I'll go ahead and tell you mine. my love language is touch. I'm a very touchy-feely kind of person.
Yes.
And so I'm the type of man that I always want to hold your hand, always want to be next to you and around you. And if I don't tell you that I love you, you know it because I'm grabbing your hand in public. I'm around you all the time. When you're at work, I'm coming up there and I'm messing with you and buying lunch. I'm always touching and telling you how much I love you. And so that's my love language.
Yes, and you do a very good job too, Riley. I believe sometimes you have to teach people how to have a love language.
Yes.
with you, because your love language might not have been like that before. I love to actually make sure that our house is clean. That's a part of my love language, is making sure that when you come home from a day's work, if I'm at home or whatever, that the house is clean. Being able to prepare, a meal. A part of my love language is treating you to dinner, mm-hmm. instead of you always, paying for dinner or whatever. For me to spontaneous just make reservations for us to just go and get a hotel or something, or go out of town, and it's my treat. That's right. A part of my love language. It ain't because, I'm a cake mama. It's a part of that. It's because of how much I love and I appreciate, you.
Okay, now, when I married you, you had kids, and I had kids also. And so this is more so of a question for men. How should I, as a man, handle your bad or disrespectful child when you won't check or correct or discipline your child? But I'm madly in love with you, but your child is just bad and disrespectful, and you won't let me touch them. So what can I do as a man?
Well, of course, we came from two different backgrounds.
But similar.
Yeah, but you was military and I was civilian. And I did not understand all the things that, the tactics that you had with taking the doors off the hinges, turning over the mattress, so strict on time and all those things. And so coming from a domestic relationship, it was also domestic for my children as well. And so I was their protector. And so I even, in the beginning of our relationship, protected them from you, because I couldn't allow anything to come in on them. And that was the good and the bad. You had to actually show me and teach me that, Tasha, this is, I love you and I love these children. I would never do anything to hurt you, and I would never do anything to hurt them. And because we had mostly boys in the house, it was important for you to do the great takeover so that these boys could be boys to men. But it was hard. I literally had to at times turn my back so that you could actually take charge and raise them.
Mm. Now tell me, how, I'm trying to figure out how to pose this question. What do you do with a person who don't want to commit? We're dating, I want to get married, we've been dating 2, 3, 4, 5 years, but they don't want to commit. Should I stay and hopefully wait on the ring, or should I pack my bags and get out of Dodge? What do you do when a person does not want to commit?
I don't know. Maybe I need to ask you that question. Because I actually have been, in my lifetime, committed twice. And so to not commit is, was never like something in my in my era.
Okay.
I would like to really know, you know, what you think about that, you know, and how that worked, you know, for you.
Well, in my situation, the ball was in my court. And I didn't commit because I was hoping and praying that you would be the person that I wanted to marry. But that never happened. But I was holding on to hope. And I was willing to wait for an extended period of time. But I think the real answer is a season. If you've been with that person summer, winter, spring, fall, for a year or two, and this is just me personally, and you know, y'all haven't took it to the next level yet, then I would have some concerns as a man or a woman. I would have most definitely anything after 3 years, and you know, the ring not on the finger, I would definitely be worried. But again, this is just what I think personally. This is not the gold standard. This is just what Riley's saying. And so my next question, what do you do with a selfish woman or a selfish man in the relationship? You love them, but they just selfish. It's me.
It's not really nothing that you can do with a selfish mate. I think that, you know, when you have that kind of stuff going on in the relationship, you're gonna have to see it for what it is, and it's not gonna change. If God doesn't get in that thing and actually change the heart of that person to see themselves in that selfishness, then it's not gonna change. Mm. It's not.
I know I'm firing these questions at you, but I mean, I think people really want to know, and I'm talking about a lot of the things that I've been through in a relationship, a lot of things that you've been through in a relationship. And so if you're in a committed relationship, what are some of the things that you do in a committed relationship to improve the relationship? Because I went to a men's conference, Men of Valor Conference, in Washington, D.C. last week. And one of the things that he talked about in the conference was that Walt Disney World is the largest vacation spot in the world. Nobody compare. Everybody from all over the world comes to Walt Disney World. And so Walt Disney World is the top of the food chain. I mean, there's nothing even close to Walt Disney World as far as a vacation spot. And so they're already number one. But even still, being number one, they still have yearly meetings. And in the meetings, they sit down and it's something called plussing, like P-L-U-P-P-U-L, plussing, I can't spell it, but plussing. But it's called plussing. And what they're saying is, yeah, we number one, but what can we do to improve on being number one? And you can be in a relationship. You and I are in a relationship and we're in a committed, very good and healthy relationship. But I still believe that you and I still do plussing. We still try to improve where we at in a relationship because it still can be better.
Right.
It still can be better. And so what are some of the things that you plus on in our relationship to improve it and make it better? What a woman should do to improve on it and make it better? Or man?
Most definitely take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a person that won't to be with somebody that don't even care about taking care of themselves.
Uh-huh.
Keeping up myself is not just for me. It's also for you.
Are you talking about physically?
Physically, even emotionally with my mental health, making sure that...
Not wearing that bonnet to bed every night. Right.
Yeah. Not wearing the bonnet to bed every night, just maybe, you know, putting on a little light, you know, head scarf so you can at least see the shape of what my head is.
Right.
Yeah, because I know how, you know, you feel about certain things that you don't like. And I don't, you know, I don't do everything that you like or what you want me to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I do try to plus that and up one up on you. To make it better for both of us, making myself more attractive. I always want to be, you know, attractive, you know, to you. So I don't just walk around looking, you know, any kind of way. I brush my teeth every morning, take a bath and all that good stuff. But your favorite, you know, perfume, if you say that you like that fragrance, I try to wear that fragrance, you know, even the more, because it is a law of attraction, even in your relationship, and not to get comfortable in the relationship.
That's the word,
comfortable. Where now I feel like, you know, I got you. And so, you know, I'm just gonna, you know, I'm a waddle in that. I don't have to, you know, make sure that I, you know, keep a good skincare regimen, go to the beauty shop, whatever, get my hair done, my nails done, my feet done, you know, all those things. And so it's important to always remember, in the beginning of our relationship, some of the things that you admired, like going on a picnic, to make sure that in between quarters of our relationship that we're still doing some of those things that are flame burners in our relationship. So, you know.
Yeah, you're right. I heard one of my friends say that you as a wife is different than you as a mother. And a lot of times, sometimes women get that mother role and it carries on to her role as a wife. I want both. I want you as a wife and I want you as a mother. I don't want you just as a mother and you got the bonnet on and you got the
dashiki.
Yeah.
I got one though.
And one of grandmama robes on.
I got one.
Yeah. With the lumberjack pajamas on.
No.
In order to plus your relationship, you're going to have to do some of the things that you're not comfortable doing in order to please your partner, because that's what it's about. It's about compromise, it's about communication, and it's about commitment. It's a lot more than that, but these are some of the foundations that we as the Rileys find that helps out our relationship.
Right.
And my last and final question is, as a mother, as a wife, do you sometimes lose your identity in those two titles?
As a mother and as a wife, yes.
And so
I think so. I think that as a mother, of course, we are empty nesters right now. And so when the kids were in the house, you used to always say I was a mama hen. My identity of protection just never, it never let down. It's like I couldn't. And so as a wife at times, it's things that you wanted me to kind of, you know, at ease. And I didn't know how. So, you know, it definitely was just a learning experience later on in our relationship. And that's where I think that people have to study their assignment in their relationship and study the person that you are with, because it's in 2 years, sometimes things don't just change. It's changing. Like God is changing us daily. It's not going to be something that you marry somebody and now you are one and you just got domed this whole big old organ. And now it's just going to be functioning the way that you think it's going to be functioning. It has to be maintenance to that. It has to be nutrients in the relationship that is given to that so that it could dome to one another. And so, you know, me with being a wife is definitely a different, you know, type of scenario since we don't have kids in the house. But as you grow older and your kids have kids, now we're grandparents. So it's a whole different type of vibe, you know, as a grandparent. And now I'm transitioning into, well, I have transitioned into the wife and the mother, the grandmother. So, you know, it just go on and on.
It's three hats. Well, listen, man, Katasha Riley, you have done an outstanding job. I love your thoughts and your just what you do. You're just an amazing woman. This has been the Rileys.
Thank you.
This has been Sunday Conversation. Peace.
Bye, y'all.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.